It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This week, we're hearing from Wisconsin's U.S. senators about developments from Capitol Hill, including reaction to a new wave of U.S. airstrikes on Iran. We heard from Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin earlier in the week, and yesterday we checked in with Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. We begin with the Iran war. The U.S. and Israel attacked Iran more than 100 days ago, starting a months-long war. Now we hear President Trump saying the U.S. is launching very hard new strikes on Iran. Tehran would have to pay the price. Is there a realistic path to bring this war to an end quickly?
Well, let me correct you. You said that the U.S. and Israel started this war. No, this war was started 47 years ago by the Ayatollahs when they declared war on the West. They have, through their proxies, and directly killed hundreds of U.S. service members, more than 1,000 Israelis just in the October 7th attack. So again, this is a war declared on America. I have viewed for quite some years Iran as an existential threat to America if they become a nuclear power, if they get a nuclear weapon. They've got missile technology. They could lob a missile with a nuclear warhead over a continental U.S., explode it. That's an EMP attack, wipes out our grid. That's existential. So every president since President Clinton said that Iran can't have a nuclear weapon, Obama and Biden coddled the Ayatollahs, funneling billions into their economy, their military, into their proxies. President Trump was the only one who made the very tough, and it was a very tough decision, to try and end this war for all time, and I support his efforts. I cannot wait for the Ayatollahs to be on the dustbin of history. The stability, the peace it would bring to the region and the world will be tremendous. But it's tough. They've got the mosaic defense. They've got the guns. The Ayatollahs, the brutal dictators have the guns. Unfortunately, the Iranian people have been held captive for 47 years as well.
Are you putting any pressure on President Trump to end this war?
He's the commander in chief. I'm not putting any pressure on him. I'm supporting his efforts, and I pray for him. President Trump hates war. The reason he has been so patient with Iran, trying to find somebody that has the power to do it and the rationality to do a deal for the benefit of the Iranian people is because, he doesn't want to see anybody killed. But I think they pushed his patience too far, and I think that's what you're seeing in the current actions. Again, I, for one, hope he succeeds. It's very disheartening when we see his political opponents literally wishing for failure, it seems like. And that's aiding and abetting the enemy. I hope President Trump succeeds.
Let's talk about the price tag here. Pentagon officials estimated a month ago the total cost of the war had reached $29 billion. Would you support a House measure that would require the Defense Department to issue a report on the total cost of U.S. operations in Iran?
Well, at some point in time, we should definitely get that information. Right now, I want the Pentagon to wage and win the war.
Let's look at how this is affecting Wisconsinites. This war is causing farmers in Wisconsin to incur record high diesel prices in the Midwest, surging fertilizer costs. How do you think the government should help farmers weather the costs of this war?
Well, again, I have to remind you and your listeners that in June of 2022, because of President Biden and the Democrats' policy, they're waging the war on fossil fuels, average gasoline prices were $5 a gallon. I don't like the high fuel prices, the high fertilizer prices, nor does President Trump, nor do any of us. But I also recognize that what would be far worse is if Iran became a nuclear power and they wiped out our grid. That would be orders and orders of magnitude worse as well. So hopefully this is just short-term pain. It is painful. I recognize that. But that's why the sooner we win this war, the better for everybody.
What about households here? I mean, you're talking about short-term pay. On average, households have spent $750 more in expenses due to the Iran war, and that is from Moody's Analytics. What do you tell people who no longer have enough money, gas money, to commute to and from their jobs each day?
Well, again, I'll point out, I don't recall the media hounding Democrat politicians when their policies, their fear-mongering on climate change and their war on fossil fuel drove average energy prices up to $5 a gallon, and we experienced 9% inflation, 40-year high inflation. I just don't recall the legacy media hounding Democrat lawmakers. What do you say about that? But it's a fair question. And again, I'll go back to the answer. Iran was an existential threat. So this pain, I recognize it. I hope it is short-lived as possible. But if President Trump succeeds, the peace and stability it will bring to not only the region, but the world will be a tremendous, tremendous achievement. And again, I'm hoping he succeeds.
What is short-term in your mind?
Well, months. Okay. I mean, I truly believe, because I know how much President Trump hates war, he's the president in my lifetime the least likely to engage in a long-term type of ground war. He doesn't want to do that again. That's why he's been so long-suffering, so patient, trying to find somebody in Iran that was rational enough and had enough power against the people who have the guns to actually negotiate a settlement for the benefit of the Iranian people.
We're talking with Wisconsin Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson about the latest news from Congress and national politics. Turning to Social Security retirement, the trust fund reportedly gone by 2032, according to a new report from the trustees of the Social Security and Medicare trust funds. That's earlier than we thought. How do you think Congress should replenish or maintain that fund?
Well, the first thing we need to do is return to a reasonable pre-pandemic level spending. It's what I pushed for during our first reconciliation bill. And I laid out different options, going back to Clinton in 1998, Obama in 2014, Trump in 2019. Take the actual outlays of those years, increase them by population growth and inflation, leaving Social Security and Medicare and interest alone, spend what you need to spend. Instead of $7.5 trillion this year, we would be spending somewhere around $5.5 to $6.5 trillion, dramatically reducing our deficit so that we would have the wherewithal to honor those promises to Social Security recipients when the trust fund runs out. That is the first thing we have to do, and then focus on economic growth. Grow revenue through economic growth. Raising taxes is going to harm economic growth and be counterproductive.
So Congress could fix the shortfall by raising payroll tax rate, reducing benefits, or a combination of those things.
I reject that. I don't think that would work. When you tax something, you get less of it. So you start increasing the FICA tax and we'll have more people drop out of the workforce. We already have a big problem. Something like 20% of the working age male population is permanently out of the workforce, partly because we make that possible with pretty generous welfare benefit programs that are, you know, in programs that we are seeing significant fraud. The lowest estimate for fraud is $250 billion from GAO. LexisNexis, I didn't realize they did this research, they pegged the figure to $1 trillion. And we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg in Minnesota, in California. We need to rein in that fraud. That is significant savings, but it's probably going to require Congress to start reining in these programs. You can't recover it through prosecutions. You have to stop the money from flowing to the fraudsters. We had Dr. Oz identified that a third of hospice centers are in Los Angeles, a third of the national hospice centers. He stopped payment to 400 of them. Not one complained.
So you're saying fraud.
Which means they were all fraudulent. So we've got a massive fraud problem in federal government spending. We need to address that.
Okay, so you think fraud could fix the system as well as cuts to entitlement programs?
It could go a long way toward fixing it if we were serious about it and if we stopped the spigot so it never goes off to the fraudsters. Some of this fraud, by the way, is being perpetrated by foreign actors. They're looking at the lack of control within our benefit programs here, and they're taking advantage of it.
Okay, speaking of benefit.
It's a serious issue. It's got to be addressed.
Speaking of benefit programs, you blocked a bipartisan veterans benefits bill called the Major Richard Starr Act. It would allow over 50,000 veterans injured in combat to receive retirement and disability benefits. What would it take to get you on board?
Well, first of all, I blocked it because it was trying to be passed by unanimous consent without debate, without discussion, without input by the Committee of Jurisdictions, the Armed Services Committee, or the Pentagon. And at the point in time, the Pentagon was opposed to it. By the way, the chairman of the Armed Services had vetoed or had objected to one in October 2025 when the bill was going to cost something like $7 billion. The time that Richard Blumenthal tried to pass it by unanimous consent, the price tag was up to $75 billion. Again, no debate, no discussion, no input by the Pentagon, no input by the Armed Services Committee. So just recently, Richard Blumenthal tried to do it again, trying to score political points. Rather than work the bill the way it should be worked, through a regular order process. By the way, the revision to it now is going to be somewhere between $10 and $17 billion. So we don't even know what changes he's making. So again, he's trying to pass it. He's trying to bypass the regular order. Nobody knows what he's really trying to pass here because it hasn't been properly vetted. Hopefully, he'll actually respect the committees, respect the Pentagon, start working with them, and they can attach it to the National Defense Authorization Act. That's the right way to do it. Again, it's not like I was opposed to it. I just was opposed to trying to pass something that nobody even knew what was in it, and it had gone from the price has increased tenfold. So no, I was just trying to block an awful end run around the process.
This week, President Trump formally nominated his former personal lawyer, Todd Blanche, to serve as the nation's next attorney general. We talked with Senator Tammy Baldwin about this, pointing to Blanche's support of Trump's controversial anti-weaponization fund. Are you at all worried about Blanche's ability to act independently of the president's wishes?
No, not to the extent I'm worried about any attorney general working with the president. I mean, it's just kind of a nature of the beast here. Okay. But I completely support the Judgment Fund, which has been around since 1957. It compensates people who have been harmed, abused by the federal government on both sides of the political spectrum. Obama used it. Biden used it. Pays out about $2 billion a year. This is not something unique. You know, obviously, I would not support paying out compensation to people who committed acts of violence or vandalism, that type of thing. But you know, for example, in Wisconsin, Judge Troupas is being abused by the federal government and by Josh Call. That has to end. It's destroying him. He's one of the people who should qualify for compensation.
Senator Johnson, thank you for joining us.
Have a good day.
That is Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. We heard Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin on the show earlier this week. And to note, Senator Johnson referenced Jim Troupas, President Trump's 2020 Wisconsin campaign lawyer, who is facing 11 criminal counts of forgery for his role in developing the false elector scheme to try to overturn the 2020 election.